Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, the doctor's in. Pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. Your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. Happy birthday to the United States Army, 244 years old, June 14, the day I prepare the show. The Second Continental Congress formed the Army on June 14, 1775, almost 3 weeks to the day before that Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence. And now, 244 years later, we are struggling to keep this republic alive. Our vision was then clear, as indicated by the Declaration, endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights and so on. But we no longer have clarity on the issues of human rights. And we need 2020 vision on human rights for the 2020 election. Getting focused on the issues that really matter as we come into another election year is critical for the most important election ever. Key issues, rights, abortion rights versus the right to life, gay rights versus, well, virtually all other rights, the new Democrat Bill of Rights, health care, house, job, education, retirement versus the Founders Bill of Rights, right to property, freedom, liberty, justice, judgment, equity. The Democrats turn what used to be earned privileges into natural rights that need not be earned, and our natural rights into state-granted privileges that we have to earn by complying with the political correctness that's controlled by the state or by society at large. And then we have wars, another key issue coming into this next election. Iran and Russia are snuggling closer together in an alliance against America. I mean, I understand Trump's already deploying troops into Poland in view of Russia's aggressive developments. Listen, tensions with China are building. Aggression from Iran is escalating. These things portend war. A biblical principle we need to be aware of cautions us to beware. I'll touch on it later. Trump is not causing this, by the way. He's simply addressing what's been developing for a long time now. And thank God for it. Hopefully it's not too little too late. And my friends, it's God's war. That's what's going on out here in this election. The spirit of Antichrist kicking against the spirit of Jesus Christ. It's come down to that. We're going to vote for the spirit of Antichrist or the spirit of Jesus Christ. And my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, if you peel back the layers, you'll see that underneath the surface of our current social debate between conservatives and modern liberals, and by the way, very near the center of that debate, is an argument over rights. Each side is passionate with motivated by defending their rights, advocating for their perceived rights. America has lost focus on the whole issue of rights. It's very blurry right now. We need to refocus. We need to get 2020 vision on the issue of rights. One thing that is helping us regain our clarity on the issues of rights is the reproving of the spirit that's going on, the exposing of the unfruitful works of darkness, exposing the truth about some of these issues and abortion and so on. I don't remember a time when the distinctions between right and left have been made more clear or when the tensions between them was more critical. Will enough Americans wake up, rub the sleep from their eyes, and see what is clearly put before them? Okay. Our debate is about rights. Abortion rights versus right to life. Gay rights versus religious and personal liberties. The new Democrat view of rights versus the founder's view of rights. To set this up, think about it. There are what we would call inalienable, or also called natural rights. And then there are privileges that we earn by hard work, industry, and diligence. Now, here's an example. Freedom of speech would be in the category of an inalienable natural right. It arises from the appropriate assumption that no one can control what another person thinks, and therefore should not control what another person believes, and should never take away the right to verbalize or to otherwise express those beliefs. No one has to perform in order to earn this right. It's natural by virtue of the fact that we live. It's natural to life, like the right to life and liberty. These are ours by virtue of the fact that we are human beings. There isn't anything we need to do to earn these rights. They are ours naturally. They are not granted to us by other men. They are not earned by our behavior. They are ours naturally. By virtue of being in America, we have considered these to be rights endowed to us by our Creator. And so they are ours by divine endowment. And our claim to these rights arises from the fact that we were created in the image and likeness of God. Consequently, every individual has an equal share in these rights. This is a very important point. And anyone who interferes with an individual's natural rights is violating a fundamental law of nature and of nature's God, doing violence against human rights. This is the cornerstone of justice and judgment and equity. Justice and judgment and equity protect the equal share in the inalienable rights that every person enjoys by right of God. And this is without respect of persons. Included in these inalienable rights are the right to life, liberty, property, the pursuit of happiness. And by property, we don't mean everyone has a natural right to an equal share of the material wealth of a nation. That's nonsense. What it does mean is each person owns what is his and has equal protection with regard to ownership of what is his. It means a man's labor belongs to him. It means he cannot be owned by another. And what he accumulates by honest labor belongs exclusively to him. By contrast, there are privileges that we must earn or that descend to us from our relationship to someone who has earned them. Living in a comfortable home would be an example. Food to eat, clothes to wear, with prospects of a dignified life and decent retirement, health care, all of these things. These are things we work for. We do not have a right to an equal share in these things. Do you understand? Some people work harder, and so they accumulate more. Others are lazy or foolish, and so they have a far lesser share in some of these things. When it comes to these things, God does not endow each of his creatures with an equal share, but God is ultimately the arbiter of what share we obtain. For example, the Bible says, quote, seek ye first, Bible thump alert. Okay. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's Matthew 6:33. Now, the things he's talking about in the context there include shelter, which would include clothing and so on, and food, the necessaries for life. God is the source for these things, and he dispenses them according to his will. And his expressed will is clear. If you don't work, you don't eat, for example. The man that does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. A lazy man will be punished appropriately with want, which means to say he will lack, and the industrious man that works with wisdom will be rewarded with plenty. The exceptions are occasions for benevolence from those who willingly contribute to relieve the suffering of what used to be called the worthy poor. Now, the worthy poor would be someone who is impoverished through no fault of his own. A reversal of fortune might have befallen him or her, and these are occasions for benevolence, that is, for charity, expressions of love to help our fellow man. So there are inalienable rights endowed by God to all men equally. Then there are earned privileges that are distributed by divine providence relative to our deserts. I mean, what we deserve. We get pretty much what we work for. You see, that is the traditional American idea of rights versus privileges. Now, let's look at what the Democrats are pushing for in this country, the transformation they want and that Obama championed. From the perspective of the modern Democrat, personal choices and earned privileges are being transformed into the category of natural human rights. At the same time, natural human rights are being transformed or relegated to mere privileges earned or granted by the state or by liberals. For example, political correctness police in social media, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and I have not heard anything like this from Instagram yet. But these social media tech companies are deciding what you can and cannot say or what information you can receive, what can be freely shared. Pinterest recently placed Life Action, which is a pro-life advocacy group, on a banned list. In fact, at first they put them on the porn ban list. Can you believe that? Then they relented after it was exposed, turned around and banned them anyway. And by the way, they fired the guy, the whistleblower. They fired the whistleblower. He should sue them. And why did they do this? Because Life Action put out a video that exposes exactly what abortion is. I'm going to take a moment here to explain this a little more clearly. That video that they objected to, it features a doctor who had performed something like 1,200 abortions, describing what a late-term abortion looks like with an illustration of the procedure called D&E. One day, as he had often done, this doctor reassembled an aborted baby on the table before him, and I guess God opened his eyes or something, because although he had done this over 1,000 times before, suddenly he realized he was murdering babies, pulling them to pieces, ripping a leg off of their body, an arm, their bottom, their torso, their upper torso, crushing the head and then pulling out the pieces. And it repulsed him that he had been doing this, and he repented and turned from this wicked business and decided to expose it. Good for him. Did you know that obstetricians refuse to do abortions? I think it's something like only 7% of doctors will perform them, which, by the way, is the reason some clinics are now recruiting young people right out of high school to work in these abortuaries. And some states have made it legal for non-doctors to perform these atrocious acts against innocent human life. Anyway, Pinterest does not believe the general public should be shown the truth about abortion, so they banned Life Action. You hear daily about Facebook or Twitter pulling down some conservative posts or banning them or suspending their accounts because some liberal complained. So Democrats advocate for the right to murder innocent babies and then infringe upon the free speech rights of others to expose them. This is totalitarianism, my friend. The point is, the Dems today do not believe in an inalienable right to life endowed by our Creator to all persons. They believe your right to life depends on whether or not you are a convenience or an inconvenience to someone else, or at what stage you are in with regard to development. They say, quote, my body, my choice, end quote. And well, we agree. Your body, your choice, whether or not to have sex. But when you are pregnant, there are two bodies in place, not one. Here is an abortion advocate who argues that the abortion rights crowd has approached the debate the wrong way. She advocates that it should be admitted that abortion is a form of killing. She argues that the baby being killed is involuntarily perpetrating violence against its host. Yeah. Which makes it, in her mind, justifiable killing. But most continue to deny the personhood of the baby in the womb as a way to justify killing the innocent baby, and they are often the same people who decry the denial of personhood to blacks during the time of slavery. I'll have to pick this up on the other side of the break, but surely you're beginning to get the idea here. The modern liberal has turned personal choices people make into a right that must be supported by government and everyone else, even at the expense of the life of an innocent baby that arises as a consequence of their exercise of their rights. You begin to understand what's going on here? So a woman has a right to refuse to have sex with someone, of course, but does she have a right to have sex with anyone she chooses? Well, listen to this. If she makes that choice and a baby is conceived, and that baby is conceived because she was exercising her right to have sex if she wants to, does she then also have a right to not experience the consequences of that behavior? Look, what about STDs? Does someone have a right to have sex whenever and with whomever and so on? And so does that mean he or she, or today we might as well add it for that matter, has a right not to be afflicted with an STD? And so are we going to be required now to pay for all medical assistance to people with STDs because, after all, they have a right to have sex with whomever they choose and no obligation to deal with the consequences and so on. You begin to understand what I'm saying. This whole mess is a fight over competing views over the issue of rights. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The Bible says the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Our children are not informed about our great American heritage, and what they are told are often lies that inspire hatred and not love for our country. This will destroy us. The antidote? A lighthouse provides a guiding light through darkness. We are shining the light of the Bible, guiding families to the safe harbor of God's love and protection. That's why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit Lighthouse Baptist Church. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. And they're doing everything they can to accomplish that one. Let me tell you, our debate right now is about rights. Abortion rights versus right to life. Gay rights versus religious and personal liberties. The new Democrat view of rights versus the founder's view of rights. Now, I set this up in the last segment, but we'll need to reprise just a moment. To reset the table, there are inalienable or natural rights, and then there are privileges that we earn by hard work and industry and diligence. The modern liberal is turning this upside down. They are advocating turning earned privileges into human rights, and they are relegating our human rights into state or society-granted privileges. For example, freedom of speech is an inalienable natural right. It arises from the assumption that no one can control what another person chooses to believe or to take away the right to verbalize those beliefs or otherwise to express them. But the modern liberal is arguing that certain beliefs repugnant to them have no right to be expressed, not even any right to be believed. The modern liberal believes murdering babies in the womb is a natural right of a woman. Her responsibility in making the baby is dismissed on the ground that, while she has a natural right to have sex with whomsoever she chooses, and so it's none of anyone else's business, right? Okay, but if a baby is conceived, the baby is someone else. Yeah, that's scientific, by the way. That's science fact, okay? Unlike the idea of man-caused global warming, this is a scientific fact that's provable in any way. The person with whom she conceived the baby has a vested interest in the child also. I mean, it's half the DNA there as this is, and that's someone else. And then if we, the taxpayer, are obliged to pay for the abortion, well, then there are a whole lot of someone else's getting dragged into her private personal decision. Come on. There is no way any sane person could argue that a woman's so-called right to choose an abortion is a personal matter that does not involve others. It most certainly does. How is it possible anyone could accept the idea that the natural right to life is to be subordinated to someone's right not to be inconvenienced by a pregnancy in any case, but especially in a case where the woman was a willing participant? So that is one example of the distortion that has come into our understanding of rights and liberties. AOC recently declared that everyone has a right to a job. Everyone has a right to an education, a right to health care, a right to a home, and to what she called dignified retirement. First of all, when it comes to rights, listen, every individual must be given an equal share in those rights. Every person has an equal share in all inalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, which involves the right of ownership of one's own labor and the right of ownership of one's own property. And the Bill of Rights, by the way, stipulates specific limitations against government forbidding them to intrude upon or encroach upon these inalienable rights. Everyone has an equal share in the right to free speech, to freedom of religion, the press, and right on down the list. But how can you give equal rights to everyone regarding a job? Some people work harder than others. Some have different skills. The only way to say you have a right to a job is to, one, force employers to employ, and two, and or two, force workers to work. Do you not see that saying everyone has a right to a job necessarily leads to infringement against individuals' inalienable personal rights? A job has to be earned. It cannot be forced on anyone, and a person can't be forced to offer one to someone. If you say everyone has a right to an education, okay, how much education are we going to force everybody to have? What is the right to education? You could certainly say they have a right to learn, they have a right to study, they have a right to pursue knowledge, they have a right to, parents have a right to teach and train their children, and all that kind of stuff. But it's earned. How do you enforce this right with equal distribution, because not everyone has the same capacity for education? The bottom line is, even if you just give education to everybody, you can't force everybody to get educated. Education is by its nature something earned. So do we force everybody to go through college? Or we force everybody to go through what? What do you decide? You decide, okay, sixth grade at least, eighth grade. And all of these have been decided in the past. High school, we're going to mandate high school. We're going to mandate college. We're going to mandate but pretty soon we're giving away degrees to people who obviously don't neither want them nor worked to earn them. Education is by its nature something earned and worked for. Education is not a right. It's a privilege and it's earned, excepting, as I said, everyone has a right to learn. The same thing is true when you say everyone has a right to a house. All right, how are you going to make that an equal rights issue? Everybody lives in the house the government provides for them? What, so Nancy must move from her mansion and live in a tenement with the rest of the hoi polloi? I mean, well, how does this work? In other words, people cannot share equally in a right to education. They cannot share equally in a right to a house. You understand what I'm saying? Not without giving up personal rights. Even our food and clothing are not rights. These are things that we earn. If they were natural inalienable rights, well, everyone would have an equal share in those things. All true rights are equal rights. But what we obtain by hard work for ourselves and for our families is earned. And for that reason, it will always be unequal. Because the distribution of these earned privileges is determined by hard work, use of wisdom, and God's favor. You cannot turn the things we must earn into things the government is obliged to secure for us as if they are our rights without creating a situation in which you are going to encroach upon and limit people's individual and personal rights. And that's always what happens when you do this kind of nonsense. When modern liberals attempt to act on their notion of human rights, it always results in injustice and unfairness. California Governor Gavin Newsom and his fellow modern liberals, and by modern liberal, by the way, I mean, compare AOC with JFK, all right, polar opposites. JFK said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. AOC says, in effect, ask not what you can do for your country, but what your country can do for you. Polar opposites. Anyway, Governor Newsom and his fellow modern libs want to provide free health care to illegal immigrants. Now, how can any humble family in this state that are natives here not be deeply offended that their tax dollars are going to provide free health care to people who have come here against our laws while they are suffering to provide dental or other health care needs for their own families? How does this sort of thing not make the average California resident not just rise up in open revolt against these yahoos and our state government and boot them out at the earliest opportunity through the ballot box? Well, some of the answer to that question could be the 1.2 million inactive names on our voter rolls, just begging for voter fraud, along with the 900,000 illegals nationwide that voted in our last election. But this arises from the idea that the illegal alien has a right to health care. It's impossible to equally distribute a right to health care. People treat their bodies differently. One guy's inappropriate in the way he handles his own health, and everybody else is supposed to pay for that? This is nonsense. Healthcare, by its very nature, is going to be unequal because people behave differently. Their lifestyles are different. They act, they do things that are unhealthy, and some people are health nuts. I hope you're getting this. Something that cannot be equally distributed cannot be a right. Those things are all earned by personal diligence and so on. Look, everyone has a right to a dignified retirement. What? Who defines what is dignified? AOC? Who pays for it? All of us? Why? Retirement's the responsibility of the individual and is determined by his or her own decisions. How hard they worked, how lazy they were, and so on. The same thing occurs with homosexual rights. The fact is, every homosexual has all of the same inalienable rights everyone else has. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and so on. Ownership of their property and of their labor, and yada. We have even gone so far as to say, okay, fine. Your idea of the pursuit of happiness is to abandon the natural use of the woman for homosexuality, and so on. But that is not where it stops, is it? Oh, no. They go on and on and on, never letting up, insisting not merely that we afford to them the right, and I'll speak to that in a moment, the so-called right to engage in their life-shortening, disease-ridden lifestyle, but that we approve of it and even invite them into our schools to use them for recruiting stations. They're using our schools to recruit children into their lifestyle. California is insane to be inviting the homosexual into our classrooms to recruit our children into their lifestyle, because that is exactly what's going on. They want to force us to violate our conscience in deference to what we consider, what we know is a life-threatening and what we consider to be a perverse lifestyle choice. And they want to force us to teach our children their life-threatening, life-shortening, disease-ridden, unnatural lifestyle. They want us to teach our kids that's a good thing. It's something to be celebrated. Are you out of your ever-loving minds? You want the truth? The fact is, no one has a natural right to do an unnatural thing. It has nothing to do with rights, which is the reason it is impossible to grant special rights to homosexuals or any other class or group that will not end up encroaching upon the natural rights of everyone else. Listen, they even take away the rights of their fellow homosexuals. Yeah, did you know that in this insane state, if you are a boy, you have a right to declare yourself to be a girl? And if you're a girl, you have a right to declare yourself to be a boy. And if you are straight, you have a right to decide you are queer or homosexual. But did you know that if you are homosexual, you do not have the right to decide to be straight? Now, if you seek counseling to help you work through the conflicts you're experiencing while you're transgendering from boy to girl or girl to boy, you'll get all the help you need at taxpayer expense. Yeah. The state of California wants to help you with that. But if you decide to trans out of the homosexual lifestyle because you've decided you prefer to be heterosexual, no way. You can't get help for that. Not in this ridiculous, confused, crazy state. All right, anyway, I used up my time on the first point. We need 2020 for 2020. And I mean 2020 vision. We need to be clear about what the issues are as we go into this next election. And one thing we need to see clearly is on the issues of rights. Inalienable rights are equally shared by all. Special rights necessarily encroach upon inalienable rights. And blurring the meaning of rights has created a mess. There are natural, inalienable rights, and there are privileges that we work for. Modern liberals want to make earned privileges into human rights that everybody else is supposed to pay for. And then doing so necessarily results in the loss, the encroachment upon our inalienable natural rights. Now we need to get clear sight and vote for the protection of our natural inalienable rights that are equally protected for one and all, and for personal responsibility regarding privileges that are earned. And that means don't vote for any modern liberal. That's what it means today. A vote for any modern liberal today is a vote for a system that will invariably lead us into tyranny and into a direct confrontation with God's judgment. Iran and Russia are snuggling closer together in an alliance against America, while at the same time, Iran's aggression is escalating. Tensions with China are building. Now, these things portend war, and a biblical principle we need to be aware of cautions us to beware. When a nation under God forgets God and turns to death and comes into agreement with hell, God raises up a nation to chastise them, and he'll turn that nation into hell. By the way, Trump is not causing these tensions with Iran and China. The tensions have always been there. Obama was just on their side, all right? He appeased these beasts. Trump is simply addressing it now, and thank God, hopefully before it's too late. Trump's merely responding to an attack on America that has been going on for decades now. Anyway, so friend, ultimately it's God's war. The Antichrist spirit is alive and well in the United States. The antipathy toward Christians is increasing at the same time that the spirit of Jesus Christ is rising. And more on that, Sunday night, 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse. I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Lights on if you agree. Lights off if you disagree. Call 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Tune in Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 7 a.m. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.